Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Q2 2013 financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Thursday, the 22nd of August, 2013. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Mr. Schiller. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, and welcome to the Sunrise Communications Holding Q2 H1 2013 investor call. My name is Uwe Schiller. I'm responsible for investor relations. With me today is Lieber von China, CEO, André Krause, CFO, and Michael Borkhardt, Director of Corporate Communications. We will have André and Lieber talking you through our presentation, which is then followed by a Q&A session. Without further ado, I'd like to hand over to André to give you an update on our financial performance.
Yeah. Thank you, Uwe, and good afternoon, everybody. As Uwe said, today we are talking about the Q2 results, and with that, also the results of the first half year, 2013. I'd like to use the presentation that we have sent around, and if you please could go to page number two, which actually carries the key messages that I would like to take you through quickly. So firstly, in line with the guidance that we have given and within the competitive market environment that we are operating in, our LTM EBITDA performance for June 2013 has declined by 3.2% to 611.2 million, coming from 631.1 million as of December 2012. On the competitive market environment, the key drivers to flesh out are clearly the price reductions, which came in almost a year ago, with the pricing changes initiated from Swisscom, and also we were seeing quite some price reductions on the roaming side. And given the fact that we are now into the roaming season or the beginning of the roaming season was in the second quarter, that also had some impact on the top-line development. In Q2, the revenue has year-on-year compared declined by 16 million to 498 million, which is equivalent to -3.1%. Mainly driven by migration effects of customers moving to the lower-end competitive price plans that we have and to the roaming piece, as I have mentioned. Secondly, and very importantly, as we have guided for, the cost improvements that we have initiated after the price reductions last year are now actually flowing through, and thus, the second quarter recurring EBITDA result is actually positive on a year-on-year perspective with 1.4 million. We have reached 154 million, which is a plus of 0.9%. If we look at the cash flow, actually, the cash flow development of the business was very strong. If we adjust for the accrued interest payments, we have increased our cash flow by 19 million to 127 million in the first half year. As also mentioned earlier, this was mainly driven by net working capital savings and also lower cash taxes that have been paid. CapEx, following our investments onto the network mainly, has increased by 41% to a level of 98 million for the first half year. And we will talk in a little bit more detail later on, but pretty much our UMTS 900 swap has been carried out, and a large chunk, or let's say, the start of our LTE rollout has also taken place, plus also substantial capacity increases have been done. Lastly, and you have seen that in the last couple of weeks, we have done two acquisitions. We have acquired Lebara Switzerland and also Triturnity Ortel Mobil, and with that, have actually strengthened our prepaid offerings for international calling customers, and now actually have a very strong market position in this, and we will also talk later on in more detail through the reasons and the position that we have taken. So these are the key messages. With that, I'd like to move to slide number three to talk about the subscriber development, which at the end really has been sort of weak. We have seen a weak trading for the quarter. If we look at the numbers, you see our customer base at a level of 2,116,000 on the mobile side. If you look at the year-on-year growth on postpaid, we have added 45,000 customers. If you look at prepaid, we have lost almost 50,000 customers. Actually, if you look on the quarter-on-quarter comparison compared to our position at the end of the first quarter, we only have been able to maintain our postpaid base flat, and that clearly is somewhat unsatisfactory development. Given the fact how the market is actually evolving, that is the outcome that we are looking at. On the prepaid side, again, we are seeing that we have been losing another 16,000 customers in the second quarter. On the ARPU, clearly that is now where we see the price reduction impact, a 6% reduction coming from 44.9 a year ago, now to 42.2, showing the impact of the price reductions and also of roaming. A positive word on this end, by the time we're speaking, more than 70% of our customer base has been migrated to new price plans. So from that end viewed, we probably have seen the most of it, and also the customers coming in right now do show less of an ARPU loss when migrating than the earlier customers that have already been migrated. So from that end viewed, the impact of the migrations on the top line should actually slow down going forward. With that, if we look at slide number four, as you remember, we have introduced a pro forma prepaid subscriber base to actually give you a comparable figure on the prepaid side towards what our competitors do show. You see the first quarter number and also the second quarter number. Second quarter number at a level of 1.5 million. That compares to our 3 months definition, as you have seen on the prior slide, where we are showing a customer base of 925,000. So substantial higher numbers if we actually take the 12 months activity definition as our competitors do. We also have for your information done the market share distribution based on the 12 months definition for the end of Q1, where our market share would have been at the level of 24.3, pretty much on a stable basis. Now, with that, moving to our fixed line and landline businesses, looking at the internet subscribers, firstly, here overall we have seen a further decline, so year on year coming from 369 now to 358, minus 11,000, and also quarter on quarter a minus of 5,000. Nevertheless, what is important for us is the increase of the TV subscriber base, where you can see, as we started reporting at the end of last year, 38,000 to 50,000 and now to 58,000. So continued growth on that end, and that is also driving a positive ARPU development, which you can see on the right-hand side, where the blended internet and TV subscribers are actually driving an ARPU up compared to the first quarter and also compared to last year of almost 5%. And that also is reflected in the revenue development that you will see on the next slide in regards to internet revenues, which year on year is showing an increase of 8%. Now, with those trading results, I would like to come to the P&L overview on slide number six. Here, I think the important messages we have given already on the key messages in the first slide, but in order to remember, you do see that the second quarter result from a recurring EBITDA perspective is almost 1% above the prior year, which is indicating that we are able to actually absorb a revenue decline year on year of 3.1% through the cost measures that we have implemented. And thus actually also showing that we are able to react to the market developments that we have seen from a pricing perspective through the cost measures that we have done. The other piece is if you look on the half-year results, clearly then because only the second quarter turned almost or slightly positive, you see that still for the half-year we are in negative territory with a recurring EBITDA growth of minus 2.9%. And you also see that the CapEx spend, as said earlier, has increased quite substantial compared to last year by almost 40%. With nevertheless a reasonable CapEx to revenue ratio of 10.7% for the half year. What I would like to focus on as well is if we look at the operating free cash flow, We have been able to generate 173 million compared to 122 million in the first half year 2012. So you see the cash generation capability of the business, despite weaker top line developments, are still looking pretty good, and our capabilities are quite strong on this end. While looking at the overall picture of the business and mainly taking into consideration the financial results for the half year and also the weaker trading that we have seen in the first half year and particularly in the second quarter, we are expecting the EBITDA for the full year to stay broadly flat compared to prior year. With that, I would like to move to the cash development on slide number 7, where you can see the starting cash balance as of end of last year was 171 million, now approaching at the end of June 299 million, and I will give you a further update on the next slide, which takes into consideration a couple of, let's say, post-closing but quite large cash elements to give you a little bit of a smelling of what our cash position currently is. What is important on this one is that you do see the strong cash inflow compared to the end of last year of 127 million. And you see also what the changes are coming from. So quite a strong free cash flow generation, which is important. What I would like to mention, and you see a corrected figure on the next slide, the net interest payment of 7 million was impacted by a bank holiday at the end of the quarter two. Therefore, interest payments, which usually would have taken place in the second quarter, have been moved into the third quarter. This is an amount of 77 million. If you deduct this, you would come to a cash position at the end of June or pro forma end of June of 222, which is also the number that you will find on the next slide, where we have actually shown a pro forma number for the cash position, taking that into consideration. So if you move to slide number 8, I mentioned already that there were quite some activities in July. So therefore, firstly, if we focus on the end of June position, the net debt position was pretty much flat compared to, the total debt position was pretty flat, 2.5 billion. While cash was actually generated on top of it, and the net debt per EBITDA KPI on a 3.7 times. And if you look on an MCIG level, that was on 4.8 times by then. Also important, the net income basket development that actually at the end of the year stood at 21.4 and has moved to 35.8 million. The real build-up actually, as you can see, was higher. The additions on the net income basket basis have been 35 million. Out of the starting position of 21.4 million, 20.6 million have been utilized for the repayment of the PIK note in the first quarter. And since then, we have been able to build up 35 million on top of it so that the ending balance is 35.8. Now with that, I would like to talk you through the movements in the first column. Here, firstly, you see in the June 30 number, you see that the cash and cash equivalents figure is 222 million, so that is corrected for the interest payment that effectively has only taken place in July, but actually should be seen as a Q2 effect, so therefore that cash position has been corrected. And secondly, there's a couple of movements now in that July 31 figure. We have done the acquisitions, as we have mentioned earlier, of Libara, Switzerland, and Triternity Automobile. Plus, we also have drawn an RCF facility in order to fund those activities. Plus, we have at the same time also repaid parts of our FRNs, so that effectively our total cash pay borrowings have come down by 80 million, thus reducing the interest. On the other hand side, if we look at the cash position still available to the business at the end of July, we are remaining to be on above 100 million at 107 million. And also to give you a little bit of flavor, after the acquisitions, how would the leverage ratios develop? pro forma for the results that we have seen in the past for Lebara and Ortel Mobile, and clearly this is our past results and not including our future synergies on those businesses. We do see a pro forma net debt per EBITDA of 3.7 times and also on an MCIG level of 4.8 times. So you do see that after all of those movements, our cash pay borrowings have come down by 80 million and the leverage ratios are pretty much flat compared to before. The last piece I would like to give you an update on is our CapEx spend. As already mentioned, you see the bridge on slide number 9. We have increased half year one compared to prior year by 40%. And you see the biggest chunk of those investments, 62 million out of the 98 million in the first half year, have been flowing into the mobile networks, 24 million into the landline network, of which a large chunk is also set-top boxes that we are capitalizing and is therefore also driven by the growth of the fixed line business, and particularly on the TV side. On the mobile network, as you see, this is the largest element. You see a couple of points underneath, but we'll now give you a little bit more flavor on the network improvements and achievements that we have been able to achieve. And therefore, I will now hand over to Libor.
Thank you, André. As you can see, we have ramped up our investments into the infrastructure as forecasted. And happy to report back that in the first half a year, we've actually on the mobile side finished the swap of the whole mobile radio network, as well as implemented the rollout of UMTS 900, which has resulted in improved outdoor and indoor coverage and improved UMTS coverage across the country. We've also speeded up the investments into improving the mobile network backhaul capacity, both on the IP backhaul as well as strengthened the throughput by increasing the number of microwave upgrades that we have in order to just improve the overall network performance and also strengthen our LTE speed of rollout, where we expect we launched LTE trial in June, and we expect to have 50% of our customer base be covered by the end of October this year. And next to that, on the fixed side, as we reported last quarter, rolling out the FTTH with our partnerships in different cities. We are expanding that, and you should be seeing additional map of the cities as we go along by the end of the year, and also increase the quadruple play offers as well as the speed on our DSL network. So with all that investment, we see an improved customer experience on the mobile network, and we will just continue the speed of the rollout through the remainder of the year as it was forecasted, and it's in our plan to follow the significant increase in the infrastructure investments. Next to that, as mentioned by André already in the overview, is we have made an acquisition of Lebara and Ortel Mobile, two complementary brands to our already strong Yallo brand in the segment of subscribers that is actually growing. It's growing more than 50,000 subscribers per year, and it's definitely a target that we've been serving well already with our existing brand, and we expanded our coverage in order to actually better serve different parts of the multicultural community, as well as giving the offers to people that come to Switzerland as tourists. And our main proposition is giving low-cost international calls on the mobile subscribers. So we see that as a strong step into a growing market opportunity, and we believe that with strengthening our presence there, it will continue to support the growth both of a subscriber base as well as of the value creation that we do on this part of the business. With that, I would hand it over to Uwe.
Yeah, operator, could we please start the Q&A session?
Certainly, thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, you just need to press the hash key. Your first question comes from Kirsten Winterhager. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got three questions, if I may. The first one is regarding the results from the introduction of the new mobile price plans that you made in May. If you could just comment on what results you've seen in terms of subscriber gains. The second one is regarding, could you give us an indication on the EBITDA impact of the Libora and Autel acquisitions and the expected synergies? And thirdly, could you comment on your expectations going forward for your for the interest payment on your PIK toggle notes, whether you expect to keep them in cash or switch them to PIK, especially the one coming in February next year following the various cash outflows this quarter?
Okay, so if I may start with the last one. So on the PIK toggle, clearly our intention is to cash pay. So there is no intent from our end side to toggle and to not pay. So and we also do not see that there any condition not fulfilled that actually should keep us away from that. Secondly, on the Libera and Autel synergies, we do not actually communicate any detailed information on that acquisition or any synergies going forward. I think what is important to understand is that, firstly, the Libera acquisition is to a certain degree also making sure that a large wholesale partner of us is remaining on our network, as Libera was with us for quite a while. And additionally, we also do see the opportunities to increase the business quite a bit. On Autel, differently, Autel is today on the Orange network, and of course, going forward, we are intending to move that to our network, and with that also to build up some revenues clearly on our end side. And beyond that, of course, within the segment, we do see large opportunities for further growth, and that's the intention of the acquisition. But we do not comment on any numbers in regards to this. On the new rate plans, which have been launched during the course of the quarter, the same, so it's pretty early on to really give you a flavor on how this is performing. Also because the quarter is impacted by quite weak trading in the summer period, so I think it would not reflect any proper guidance going forward. I think what we can say is that we are okay with the numbers that we have seen, but the summer period has been rather low trading, therefore we would have expected a bit more. And clearly you can see from the net add figure on the postpaid side that was a net add figure of zero compared to past second quarters. That is, of course, a lower figure than what we have seen.
Thank you. Your next question comes from David Caldana. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry, I just missed the comment that I think Andreas made about the guidance on EBITDA for the year. I couldn't hear what period that was referring to. Was that for the full year or was that for the LTM period through to Q3?
No, for the full year we are expecting to be broadly flat.
Okay, that's great. Thanks. In terms of, I know you're not going to give out any specific figures now, but I mean, how do we sort of look at the impact that these acquisitions will have on your financial statements? So, I mean, how much, you know, subscriber numbers, you know, is there anything that was already captured in your previous subscriber numbers for Libera, for instance, or was that completely counted separately? And, you know, for revenues, I guess obviously there'll be some part that was already included in your revenue base previously. So, I mean, if you can just maybe walk through some of the key considerations we should be thinking about And I guess also, is it possible to actually give some pro forma numbers at some point before the Q3 results?
So in regards to the pro forma numbers before the Q3, we will probably not do that. To give you a little bit of, let's say, some orientation of what to expect, we do think that the acquisitions should be EBITDA accretive, clearly. As I said, yes, Lebara was on our network before, so there is a chunk of COX on their P&L that was part of our margin in the past, and that will be remained. What comes on top, of course, is it is a profitable business. Ortel actually is a business that is about to be profitable and was launched just recently, but in total, the two acquisitions should be accretive to EBITDA going forward. But that's all I want to comment on the two acquisitions.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Jakub Jablonski. Please ask your question.
Hi, this is Jakub Dobaniewicz from New Street Research. Thanks for taking the question. My question is about your CapEx. Your CapEx has spiked in Q1 and Q2, and if I understand correctly, large part of this CapEx is not paid yet. And could you please clarify how much of this CapEx is yet to be paid, and generally how your terms of payments work when the cash outflow will catch up with the investment that you're making at the moment. And second question, do you expect the competition to deteriorate in Q3 due to new iPhone launch? If I understand correctly, the iPhone is the most popular handset in Switzerland. There hasn't been Swisscom and Orange have not done much to the pricing in last month. Or even quarters. So, do you expect any? Is there a risk from that from that side? And finally, your typical gross margins. Am I correct to think that your gross margins on fiber and are lower than on DSL? If I understand correctly, VDSL margins are lower because they're using a wholesale product from Swisscom. Is this different from fiber, which you take probably from other suppliers than Swisscom? Thank you.
Okay, so if I start off with your CapEx and the related cash question. Mm. As we have mentioned in the past, with the new partner Huawei, we have been able to negotiate favorable payment terms. We have not disclosed how those look like, and we will not disclose, but you can see the impact in the net working capital development, where, of course, the outstanding payments are actually improving the working capital position. Mm. Gives you an indication of the build-up that we have been able to do, but we are not commenting on the detail of the contract. On the iPhone piece, it's hard to say. To a certain degree, there are many rumors out how it will actually look like. We know how iOS will look like, but we don't know how the device will look like, what the features will be, what the capabilities will be. Rumors are also that there will be a low-entry device, but at this stage, I think our guess is as good as yours. Our expectation is not that it actually will shake the tree substantially, but as always with Apple, you don't know. Yeah, so we're not expecting that it will be a revolutionary new device that will completely distort the competitive environment. But that's at this stage, with the knowledge that we have, the best guess we can give. And related to your last question, the gross margin on fiber, reality is that the gross margin on fiber differs between the partners that we are connecting. As you know, we are doing the fiber together with the electricity companies in the different regions, and that those are commercial negotiations. On average, I would say that the prices that we do see here are at about the same or even slightly below the prices that we do see for the VDSL products, meaning that assuming that you could achieve a higher, let's say, retail price for a fiber product, there should actually be a margin improvement for the fiber product going forward. So if you want, it will be a margin down while using VDSL, but it potentially is a margin up if the retail price will be higher. It's likely to be the case. So from that end viewed, the fiber strategy or the attractiveness of fiber to us is pretty high.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from David Levison. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one is, do you have any more cost improvement measures that you can implement, and if you can guide us on potential EBITDA impact? And the second question is the drivers on the internet subscriber churn, if you can indicate to us where these subscribers are going. Thank you.
Okay. So on the cost improvement piece, at this point in time, we are not planning to implement bigger, further cost savings. I think we have done quite a big movement last year. So there will be, let's say, the normal business work, as always, to improve costs here and there, but not to the same extent that we have done last year. So from that end, there will be some minor improvements just happening on a normal basis, but there are no extraordinary things planned. So from that end viewed, I would also not guide any bigger cost improvements to be expected going forward. On the internet churn piece, where are customers going? Clearly what we do see is that there is quite an aggressive, let's say, speed competition. And as elsewhere, cable is having quite a good position to capture some of that. So at this point in time, we clearly do see that there is quite strong competition from the cable side, higher speeds at attractive prices, but also from a Swisscom side, they do protect their home turf there as well. The other element to be mentioned is I think our level of aggressiveness on the fixed piece is at this point in time also not that high. So that is potentially an area to be looked at. But right now, if you ask for where customers churning to, then it's probably mainly Cablecom, but also to a certain degree Swisscom.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Zabi Chatterjee. Please ask your question.
From Morgan Stanley, I have three questions. Firstly, on your TV subscription.
Excuse me, we almost cannot understand you.
Sorry. Is it better?
Yeah, it's better now.
Sorry, this time from Morgan Stanley. I had three questions. Firstly, on your TV subscribers, how should we look at this trend going forward? You have done pretty impressive in growing this and also as a tool for checking internet churn. So can you help us to understand at the end of the year how many subscribers are on the and what range you will be and what can be the growth rate we can possibly gauge at this point in time? Second, on your labor cost, it has come down year on year. I just wanted to confirm that the planned headcount reduction you had, is it complete or is it something remaining or can we expect any cash restructuring costs going forward? And third, on you, if you can help us understand a bit on the MTR cuts, like what's the glide path at the moment? As from my understanding, nothing is probably coming before 14 on 15 with the agreement with Swisscom. But if you can highlight that part, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Okay, so let me start with your first one, the TV subscriber question. If you look at the development, I think you have seen that overall the second quarter in trading was a little bit weaker. So I think from a run rate perspective, there should be some improvement to be expected. But on the other hand side, I would not like to guide to any specific number towards the year end. But I think we do see right now quite a steady development on that. So I would not expect huge improvements from the run rate that you have seen, but there might be a bit of an uptake because the summer period is not necessarily an area where customers are thinking about their fixed lines in a dramatic way and also on TV. So I would expect a little bit of an uptick on the run rate, but not too much going forward. On the headcount reduction, there are no further plans for bigger restructuring exercises. Clearly, all of the headcount restructuring has done, so people have moved out of the business. There is still a little bit of cash out related to that happening, but from a P&L perspective, there's nothing more to be expected. And, the last one was on the MTR. Well, as you know, those are actually bilateral discussions among the operators. So at this point in time, as we always said, we are not expecting a dramatic move down in the next 1 or 2 years. There will be some adaptations, but also, let's say, the flow patterns within our customer base, as we have been growing and we have an increasing amount of flat rates, that is actually having less of an impact going forward. So I would not expect that to have a major impact on the P&L, because there is not a big price reduction to be expected. And even so, if there is some price adaptations, positives and negatives are almost equaling out.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Brian Goldstein. Please ask your question.
Yeah, thanks. Two questions, actually. The first on postpay subs. Can you just give some more color on kind of what happened in the quarter? You know, it's a reversal of the trend of ads we've seen over the last several quarters. If you can just provide some color on what we saw and kind of what to expect over the rest of the year.
Okay, that was one.
Yeah,
you had another one?
The second one is on, I guess, on the EBITDA guidance for flat EBITDA. You know, again, if you can provide some more color, you know, the first half was down 6%. It would imply second half growth of 6%, which seems just, you know, a little difficult given the trends that you've mentioned. If you can just provide some more color to kind of bridge that gap.
Okay. So on the postpaid subs for the quarter, difficult to a certain degree to say because we haven't seen the Orange results yet, so it's difficult to say what was actually driven by a weaker market, a potential slowdown of smartphone penetration as we are already on high levels, and what was our, let's say, particular performance topic. Overall, we have seen really, let's say, lower footfall numbers into our stores, and based on that, we have also seen less trading activity overall. In the indirect channels, we have seen pretty much flattish developments, if you want, on the market shares for us. So from that end viewed, it doesn't feel like that we have now seen really an extraordinary weak performance. Nevertheless, based on the fact that we have launched a couple of new tariffs and did also quite some marketing activities, the overall volume that we have been able to capture in the market is a bit disappointing. Going forward, we have seen recently a little bit of an improvement, but we are coming now just out of the vacation period, so it's very difficult to say how that actually will look going forward. Clearly, our attention, our intent is clearly to move that up again towards what we have seen in the past, but we need to see how the market is actually responding. And really, one thing that we have seen to a certain degree is that the market was pretty illiquid in terms of customers coming onto the market, and we need to see whether that was a temporary effect or whether it was driven by a already high level of smartphone penetration and a general cool down, or whether it was the missing attractiveness of hardware. Nevertheless, HTC One and also Samsung S3 or S4 have been launched in the period. So it's a little bit guessing around. I would expect a little bit of an improvement going forward, but a certain degree probably is also driven by a more illiquid market than it was in the past. On your EBITDA question, so firstly, if you look at the quarters on a standalone basis, you do see that the second quarter is looking better than the first one, where we have seen a little bit of a growth. And as I said, I mean, our guidance is that we are expecting to be broadly flat for the year. So we sort of expect that from what we have seen in Q2, on average, we should see a similar performance for the remainder of the year, and then achieving the broadly flat result as said.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Fred Kuoy. Please ask your question. Please ask your question, Mr. Kuoy.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that. Yeah, just to just one clarification, please. I think you had previously told us that you'd expected EBITDA to fall in the full year 13 by 1 or 2%. So is this a small upgrade to your expectations, and what specifically is it that is driving that?
No, your assumption is wrong. That we never said that.
Okay. That's fine. Thank you.
Your next question comes from Ken Oima. Please ask your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the presentation. Just given that you guys have kind of called some of your FRNs, just looking at potentially plans to call the balance of it, or do you guys plan to leave that in place?
Well, at this point in time, there, of course, might be the opportunity, but at this point in time, we have no concrete plans to, in short term, do anything on that front.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Sebastian Orinders. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Can you tell me, if your bonds become callable next year, your 8.5% bonds, would you let yourself lead by pure economic deliberations, or is there anything else that you take into consideration in your decision to call it or not?
Well, it would be on pure economic considerations, and what you need to include, and you probably can't really guess out, is the hedging structures we have on top of it. So those hedging structures, of course, give also some economic reasoning for our delivering behavior.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions at this stage. Please continue.
All right, that concludes the call for today. Many thanks for your time and listening in, and I guess we speak each other latest in November for the Q3 results. Thanks a lot and bye-bye.